Yo, yo, welcome back to Disrupted. What's good, Mo? How y'all doing? This week, my co-host Larry Gates is not here. He had to handle something. But we're going to go ahead and continue with the show. Once again, no music this week, but we're going to go ahead and just jump right into it, you guys. You already know I like to start off with my fun fact. My fun fact for the week, I have two, okay? So the first one that I want to give you guys is one about a quarterback. And I want you to guess who, what quarterback it is. But only three quarterbacks in NFL history have ever rushed for 150-plus yards in a game during the Super Bowl era. One is Michael Vick. The second is Colin Kaepernick. And the third is now Lamar Jackson. Yeah, Lamar Jackson Sunday against the Cincinnati Bengals had 152 rushing yards. He is also the second quarterback with 200 passing yards and 150 rushing yards in a game, including the postseason. The only other person to do that was Colin Kaepernick against the Green Bay Packers in the playoff game. And the second fun fact of the week is Kyle Allen, the Panthers quarterback. He's the first quarterback in history to ever win five games without throwing a single interception. He has seven touchdowns, 2-0 picks, and he looks pretty much amazing, you guys. So that's the fun fact of the week. We're just gonna hook ahead and jump right into it, man. This has been a disappointing season for a lot of teams, and yeah, there's different contributing factors to why those teams have had the horrible seasons that they had. And there's also some truth to that about how some teams, things have just not went well. Maybe the coaching is not as good as it should have been. Injuries, blown games, penalties have been a big contributor to some losses this year. But to me, it's only four teams that I think have had the most disappointing seasons, period. And that is the Browns, the Cowboys, the Titans, and the Falcons. Now, with that being said, the two teams that I really wanted to just kind of point out would be the Browns and the Cowboys. Everybody knows why I think the Browns are one of the more disappointing teams in the season, based on the fact that on paper they look pretty much virtually unstoppable. You know, having Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry, David Njoku, Antonio Callaway. You know, they have Nick Chubb coming back. You know, they got rid of Duke Johnson and those guys, Carlos Hyde. They got rid of them two guys. And, you know, they just came in with them. And they also bought in Kareem Hunt. So, you know, on paper, that team looks amazing. They also went to go get Greedy Williams to compliment Denzel Ward. And, you know, Myles Garrett is improving each and every day. Schobert looks great. Christian Kirksey, he looks pretty much great. But at the same time, you know, there's been instances where I feel like the Browns, it's more that they can do. But at the same time, things need to change. And with that being said, I'm not saying Freddie Kitchens has to go or anything like that. But I think that there can be some type of event for that team to happen. Maybe a team meeting might get them back on track. You never know. And then the Cowboys, man, where do I start? You know, Jason Garrett, he doesn't look – Jason Garrett looks like he's lost – he looked like he has lost a lot of respect from his players. I remember during the week there was one instance where the timeout was called and nobody shook his hand and things like that. So things have kind of went down the drain for Dallas after starting off 3-0. They're 3-3 now. They're tied with the Philadelphia Eagles, and they're going to have a game next Sunday for Sunday Night Football, the game of the night, prime time. So whoever wins that game is gonna win the championship. I mean, well, no, it's not gonna win the championship, but can be in consideration for the NFC championship, the NFC East championship. I'm sorry, but as far as injuries, guys, there's been quite a few injuries this year in the NFL, and you know, like I said, we have to keep continuing to talk about this this topic week in and week out. And you know, it's gotten worse, but now some teams are like really getting hurt in a sense that certain guys are done or certain guys are out, you know, and certain guys can't come back. So Aqib Talib, he has a rib injury. He's on IR now. That's not going to help their cause, you know, being as though the secondary hasn't played great all year. Disley from the Seattle Seahawks, he was having a great year at a tight end. He tore his Achilles, so he's out. Jalen Ramsey, he has a back issue again. Well, people think, you know, his back issue is not really a back issue. People just think he doesn't want to play, you know, because he still wants to get traded. So that is still something lingering. Deshaun Elliott from the Baltimore Ravens, he's out for the season with a significant knee injury. They didn't specify what knee injury that is. Kevin Osemele from the New York Jets, he's on IR with a shoulder injury that's, you know, been lingering with him for, you know, quite a time, you know, during the season. Stephon Tuitt, he has a pectoral muscle tear once again, so That's one of those injuries that just keeps coming back on him. You know, I hope he can heal up as quickly as possible. And then Baker Mayfield has a hip pointer. I don't think that his hip pointer is going to, you know, I don't think it's going to affect him as much, but it's something to keep an eye on considering the fact that, you know, he already is playing bad and, you know, he has been hit quite a bit this year. So that's something to keep your eye on. Coming from a fan standpoint, this year I wanted to talk about penalties. You know, that's something I've been thinking about all week. You know, penalties, man. What are we supposed to do? How you lower the number? The actual number is 1,376 penalties. That is the most since 2011. It has a lot to do with some of the new rules. There has been rules in place pitting this year that, you know, haven't went well at all. You know, that's going to be something to keep your eye on when the NFL has their little annual meeting in New York. To me, the penalties are only bad because it seems like some of the penalties are more petty than they are of making sense. You know, like, the one penalty I do have an issue with is defensive holding. One, this penalty, you know, it's only 5 yards, but it causes an automatic first down. And then to combat that idea once more, offensive players grab two, offensive players maneuver two. Like, they don't get penalized as much as defensive players. And I think that's one penalty that has been called quite a bit during this year. Roughing the passer, it's one of those penalties where I can go like 50-50 most of the time. Sometimes it does look like a little bit of roughing, and other times it doesn't look like quite a bit of roughing at all. So, you know, I can't make a good judgment on that penalty itself because that penalty can go either way most of the time when you're watching a football game. The offensive pass interference and the defensive pass interference, I know the new rule you can implement by challenging the play called by the officials on the field. That new rule hasn't been well administered at all. You know, I think there has been zero challenges overturned, and we're in week 7 now. So that right there should tell you how this thing has pretty much gone. It hasn't gone well at all. I think this is a rule that they need to definitely crack down on, or either just terminate altogether, because it hasn't made the game any better, you know. And I truly believe that because of this rule, teams have lost. You know, things haven't went well. But then again, you know, if you watch the games, the refs are just getting a lot of stuff wrong. Like it's plenty of, you know, games you can call out as a fan. You know, as a fan, you can just point out your team plenty of times where your team has been on the wrong end of a call and the call wasn't right at all. You know, the call was just downright just doesn't make sense and stuff like that. Like last night, Trey Flowers with the illegal hands to the face, he was up under the man's chin strap. You know, that's like, is that illegal hands to the face? You know, I'm not sure. Like, but to me, that's not illegal, hands to the face. And if you want to be quite frank, it cost him the game. Crosby had an easy field goal. And now look at us. And look where we're at. The Lions are 2-2-1. And Green Bay is 5-1 with 3 division wins. That, see how, you know, one call can really change the course of a season. Because I'm not sure. I don't think Green Bay has had their bye yet. So, penalties is something that's it's ruining the game in my eyes, man. It needs to be more crackdown on it and not as much enforcing. Like, if you're going to enforce something, make sure you're enforcing it the correct way. Don't enforce it because you think that you saw something or something like that. I mean, quite frankly, if you have to review everything, because some penalties are just called and it doesn't look like that at all. If you have any opinion about whether a penalty is right or wrong, review it. That's what the tablets are for. That's what we implement technology for. Try to get everything right. Everything is not going to be right. It's not a perfect world, but you can eliminate some of the bad things happening with the penalties if you can just simply review every single penalty, and call it for what it is. Tape don't lie. So I'm done talking about penalties, man. But I hope they can, fix that, man, because it's ruining the game. It's ruining the game in the worst way. The next topic, we can talk about the two unbeatens. They're still unbeaten, last week. The San Francisco 49ers and the New England Patriots. The Patriots, they was in a tight one with the Giants, and they kind of, got out of that one. 14-35, they're 6-0 now. The San Francisco 49ers, on Sunday, they went into the Coliseum and got the Rams up out of there, 27. They look amazing, I'm not going to lie. The Patriots, these two teams, if you ask me who looks better, I'm going with the 49ers. As a fan just watching these games, the Patriots should have lost a couple games on this, out of all the games they won. The week one game against the Steelers, that was... I get that to them. They played well. The game against the Dolphins are still winless. So I get that game to them as well. People could argue, they should have lost to the Bills. People could argue that they should have lost to the Giants. You can argue these things, but a win is a win. But certain things you can take away from those games and just, the Patriots just don't look clean. This is probably one of the more cleaner. This is probably one of the more dirtier 6-0 teams I've seen. They just don't look clean. Yeah, it's a lot of things contributing to that. You can contribute the play of Tom. Tom made a crazy throw to Janoris Jenkins. Like, he thought about throwing it and he threw it. That's one play I thought about. The run game doesn't look smooth. Sony Michel and James White haven't found a rhythm at all. Bolden had actually been the more consistent, pound the running guy. Michelle and White are more the, passing game guys. I think the only thing keeping the Patriots afloat or keeping them further above every other team is the defensive play. Defensive plays look outstanding through 6 weeks of ball. And the 49ers, man, what can you say? Jimmy G is playing well. He didn't have that good a year to begin with last year before he got hurt. Like, he was having a bad year before he got hurt. So it's good to see him back healthy. They have an excellent running back core. It's every guy produces well, very well. We have yet to see Debo Samuel and those guys turn up yet, but I'm sure it's coming. And the defense has just been superb, actually. The 49ers are top 10 in all defensive categories. They're number one in yards per game. They're tied for number one in rushing touchdowns. They're second in yards per game, total yards per game. They're second in passer rating. They're second in first downs. They're second in points per game. And they're sixth in rushing yards per game. So the only outlier on that list would be the rushing yards per game. But, look at the number. They're still top 10. By far the best defense in football right now. It's not even close. Those two teams, people have been talking about, you know, maybe that might be some, that might be a Super Bowl matchup. I've heard this from quite a few people. If you ask me, it's a good guess to go with, but it's just too early to judge. I feel like that judgment should be made halfway through the season, like week 8 or week 9, depending on, you know, where your bye week is or where your bye week falls. So, but yeah, halfway through the season, I think those judgments should be made. But nonetheless, those teams have played extremely well, and they are undefeated for a reason, or reasons with an S. So, you know, hopefully they can continue to play that well, but we'll see. Just want to give a shout-out to the Washington Mystics. They won their first WNBA title. Shout-out to those ladies for representing DMV. You know, y'all putting in work out there. You know, being in Pittsburgh, I still represent when I can. I represent everywhere I go. Feels good to see the Mystics win. You know, Ella Della Don having the amazing season she had, battling through all of those obstacles and pulling it out. And I feel like the Mystics have an excellent team. They can do some big things in the upcoming years if, you know, the core stays together and, you know, everything goes accordingly. But I didn't want to, you know, go without mentioning that great feat. It was about 4 days ago, but it's been on my mind every day up until now. So shout out to the Washington Mystics, man, you know. Next topic I can talk about is Taco Fall. He's been a fan favorite for the Boston Celtics pretty much, you know, since he was drafted. Every preseason game you see him come in, you know, the fans are going crazy. Oh, Taco, you know, people going crazy for him, man. So he actually signed a 2-way deal with Boston Celtics. And, the way the 2-way deal works, you play, I think, home games or some away games with the NBA roster, but you're still on the G League roster as well. For developmental purposes only. So, just to see him get that opportunity, I think he has a long way to go with developing. He has raw skill and talent based on his height, his weight, his footwork, his shot blocking abilities. You know, as long as he can continue to develop his body and get his posture and stuff up, I think he'll be one of the more promising shot blockers in the years to come. We already have great shot blockers now: Anthony Davis, Rudy Gobert, Hassan Whiteside. You know, all of those guys, they put in work day in and day out. So, to me, if he can reach that level and that potential and get his game up to where it needs to be, or his game above the others of his other peers, I think that he'll have possibly, an amazing career. But it's too early to tell. Once again, this is just a development stage for him. But to me, if I'm the Celtics and I'm going to lose Al Horford, doesn't hurt to pick up somebody like Taco. I mean, they pretty much do the same thing. Al is definitely by far a better, scorer. But as far as the shot blocking abilities and rim protecting, those two guys are – they're pretty good. Congrats to Taco, man. You know, you represent out there in Boston. Let's talk about Simone Biles. She is the queen of medals, man. The queen of medals. She has 24 medals, the most ever for a gymnast. To me, she needs more recognition than she's getting. You know, she's been representing for a long time. She done smashed everybody, all the records. She needs more recognition than she's getting. To me, her abilities and her skills that she possesses, second to none. I mean, the medals speak for itself. Like she said, she's not out there talking about she's the best and things like that. The paperwork, the medals, it all speaks for itself. And she was talking about how she needs more women to understand that. And I agree. If you know you're the best and you know you're a top dog and whatever you're doing, and, when people say gold or anything like that, they mention your name. I think that's something that, something she does well. I've never heard her sit there and say, I'm the gold. No, She pretty much just goes with the flow. She's cool, calm, and collected. She, you know, she works her ass off. So, you know, well deserving to me. You know, speaking, you know, considering all they've been through with the, you know, the Larry Nassar stuff. That's, you know, in the past. But I'm glad that those, you know, they made it through all of that. And now we've gotten to the point where they can continue to represent their country and be outstanding. So, Simone, great work. You know, you're the greatest ever in the gymnast area. And I hope you continue to keep representing. I hope you continue to keep putting on for African-Americans and things like that. So, congratulations to you, and I hope you, you know, keep putting that work in. And the last topic before the week 7 predictions is who's better, Luka or Trey? Now I keep saying this. What I mean by Luka Doncic or Trey Young, I keep seeing this. You know, they did have a close rookie of the year race last year, and both players are heading into the sophomore year of their careers on their respective teams, the Atlanta Hawks and the Dallas Mavericks. Now, both teams have gotten better in their own way. Now, what I mean by that is the Dallas Mavericks, they went to go get Kristaps Porzingis from the New York Knicks. They've went to get a couple of guys in free agency, you know, Tim Hardaway. They got, they got a couple guys, you know. And that's 1-2 punch with him and with Luka and Kristaps. That's something that we should pay attention to for the foreseeable future, because those guys are, you know, the future of our league. And Trey Young and the Atlanta Hawks, they've gotten better in the draft. You know, they went to go get Cam Reddish. They went to go get Hunter from Virginia. You know, they went to go get a couple more guys. They bought Vince back. So, now they have a young core. Now the Hawks have a young core. They have a core where they can now become cohesive and build something for the foreseeable future. You already have a star-studded point guard who can shoot from anywhere. Kevin Huerter, sharpshooter. You know, you got Cam Reddish, Hunter. You got John Collins, you know, the promising forward or center, whatever you want to call him. The Hawks, man, they looking nice, you know. It's a matter of time before they start like winning, you know. I've been waiting for a couple of teams to start winning. Like the Grizzlies, ever since Gasol and Zach and them guys left, you know, we haven't seen them win, you know. Ever since Steve Nash and Amari Stoudemire left, the Phoenix Suns, we haven't seen them win. So it's certain teams that I've just been waiting for to see win. This is going to be a promising season for both players and their respective teams. But if I had to kind of give my idea or my opinion as of right now, who's better, I say Luka. Luka does more on the stats, plays defense. He rebounds very well. He can also pass. He can score when he wants to, and he's crafty as well. Trey is crafty too. Trey can shoot that three ball, but some of the players in the league and some of the matchups and lineups in the league, he may be a liability on defense. That's we haven't seen enough yet, but considering his stature and his frame, guys probably think they can just, you know, bully him and things like that. So if I had to like pick one guy, as of right now, I'd probably pick Luka Doncic based on his potential and his stature and things like that. I mean, 6'7", about 220, 230. That's a solid frame for an NBA player. And he can play multiple positions. So I'd probably pick Luka. But, yeah, Luka Doncic. And this week, I'm going to get into the Week 7 predictions to finish it off, man. Thursday, we got the Chiefs and the Broncos. Um, I don't like going against Kansas City. You know, they've lost two in a row, though. And the Broncos won two in a row. And Mile High might be jumping on Thursday. I did have the Chiefs losing a couple division games this year. So I think Kansas City bounces back. I think they win by three. It's a division game. It's going to probably be played tight. Broncos do play well at home. So I'm going to go take the Chiefs by three. Just three. Raiders and Packers. Green Bay just came off a controversial win last night. But nonetheless, they played well. Chucky and them came off their bye week. So now we get to see Derek Carr and them guys again. But Lambeau Field, I'm taking Green Bay. I take Green Bay by 10. The Rams and the Falcons, two teams that haven't played well at all. The Falcons are about 1-5, I think, and the Rams are not that much behind them. But I take the Rams. I think they established a run game, and they ride off that. So I take the Rams. The 49ers and the Redskins, we did beat the Dolphins by 1 point. So we are 1-5. Something to build off of. But it's going to be tough to play against an undefeated team who's literally on fire. Like, they played so well against every other team. They look like a Super Bowl contender. So, I'll take the 49ers on the road. Texans and Colts. This is probably one of the better games of the week. Both teams are very, very good. I still think the Texans are inconsistent. You know, they did win two in a row, but, you know, this is the same team that they have a real bad game. Like, they have a very bad game a week later. So, I'm not too knocked on them as far as that. I mean, they did win 9 in a row last year and, you know, go into the playoffs and play the way they did. So, I'm just not knocked on them now. They do have a lot of talent. And the Colts are at home, so I think I'll take the Colts. I think Jacoby Brissett still wins more games. They're a little downplayed because the team is kind of hurt right now, but I think they play well and play good enough to win at home. The Vikings and Lions. I like the Lions. I think the Lions are a good football team. And Minnesota, I feel like Minnesota had to beat the Eagles. You know, they had to win that game to, you know, stay in the race and things like that. They had to. So, with their backs against the wall, I think they played that well, especially with Diggs talking about he wants to get traded. I think they came in that game and tried to, you know, establish a little bit of heart like the Jaguars did not too long ago when Jalen Ramsey said he wanted to get traded. So, I take the Lions at home. Jaguars and Bengals. Cincinnati is still winless. That's just it. They're winless. I take the Jags. I take the Jags on every facet of the game. Cardinals and Giants. This is a battle of rookie quarterbacks. Daniel Jones, he had two good weeks at first. Hasn't played as well the last 2 weeks. Hopefully he can rebound. They're at home. I think they do get some of their players back this week. And I do think Saquon Barkley comes back this week as well. So that's very encouraging if you're a Giants fan. Daniel Jones doesn't have to throw it to, you know, other guys. He can finally dump it off to Saquon or let Saquon work out in the outfield. The Cardinals have won. I think they won two games. They won against the Bengals, and they won last week against the Atlanta Falcons. They're hot right now. But it's something about Saquon coming back that's a little alarming. You know, Saquon Barkley, he can win a game by himself. I think I take the Giants by three. I don't think they went by much. But I think Saquon coming back and being hyped up after being hurt for like 4 weeks, I think he comes back in and I think he do them boys crud. So I take the Giants by three. Dolphins and the Bills. The Bills have no wins. The Dolphins have no wins, sorry. Dolphins have no wins. The Bills do. The Bills win. Chargers and the Titans. Phillip Rivers and them had an embarrassing loss on Sunday Night Football against the Pittsburgh Steelers with a young undrafted quarterback from Stanford. That's heartbreaking. But then again, the Titans lost to the Broncos 16-0, and their starting quarterback had to get benched. So I feel like this is too bad. Just two bad teams going hard head to head. I'm going to go ahead and take the Chargers. I think the Steelers played with a chip on their shoulder, and they shocked the Chargers. But Tennessee just doesn't look good this year. There has been no establishment of the run game with Derrick Henry. We haven't seen Corey Davis get hardly any touches. A.J. Brown has had more touches and touchdowns and stuff than him. So, and the defense just hasn't played the way I've seen them play. Like the last couple of years, Tennessee's defense has played well. I haven't seen them play like I know they can play. So I can't take them this week. I'll take the Chargers. The Ravens and the Seahawks. This is going to be a good football game too. We got two great quarterbacks. The Ravens have showed me that they can win games against good teams or attempt to scare a good team. And the Seahawks, they've just been pretty much dominant all year. Russell Wilson is an MVP candidate. So I think he continues his MVP campaign. They're at home. So I think I'll take the Seahawks. Not by much, but I'll take the Seahawks. Probably 7 or less points. The Saints and the Bears. I don't think Trubisky is back this week. Chase Daniels in there. And I don't think he even matches up against Teddy and the Saints. I think the Saints go on the road and get them one in Soldier Field. And then the Eagles and the Cowboys. This is probably the most important game of the night in a lot of ways. Dallas, they're sitting at this level where it's do or die now. You can't lose four in a row and expect to keep calling yourself Super Bowl champs or potential Super Bowl champions. And then Philly is also at a standstill, whereas they just lost to the Minnesota Vikings. They're 3-3. Whoever loses goes down to a losing record, which is, ironic enough because that means that the team at the top will be the only team in the division with a winning record at the end of week 7. So the Cowboys are at home. If you ask me, they've never played well at home against the other division teams. Like, I remember when there were years when Jason Pierre-Paul was on the Giants, and I remember when he got a blocked field goal. Like, I remember the Giants, the Giants couldn't lose when they went to Jerry World. AT&T Stadium, the Giants won a lot of games in there before the Cowboys actually got a win. So I just can't go with the Cowboys when it comes to playing at their home in a division game. They've lost so many games against the division teams, it's hard for me to pick against them. And to me, I feel like Philly is going to win because Philly is missing people. Yeah, they have inconsistent wide receiver play for a while now, but there's people that's not playing for Philly because they're hurt. When those guys come back, there may be a whole different team we're looking at. Dallas, on the other hand, there hasn't been that many guys banged up. Tyron, yeah, and Lael, okay. But other than that, outside of them guys and plus Amari Cooper, Gallup already returned. So besides those three guys, they're not really banged up as much. So, where is the bad play coming from now? They were 3-0. Now they're 3-3, fighting for the top of the division at this point in the season. It's week 7, so we're getting in crunch time. It's almost time to start, you know, rolling up on the mid-season. So I take the Eagles, man. I take the Philadelphia Eagles. Then the Monday night game, Patriots and Jets. Donald came off, you know, a great win against the Cowboys. But it's hard to go against, you know, the Patriots. And they did bring Benjamin Watson back. Did all this talk about, you know, is Gronk going to come back? I don't think so. But at the same time, their defense has played so well. The only way the Jets have a chance to win, to me, Le'Veon got to have one of those crazy games. Le'Veon got to have like 200 total purpose yards, three touchdowns. That's the only way I see them winning, because Le'Veon, he can damage the Patriots. You know, he can. All them years where he played on the Steelers, you know, he went up against them a lot. He can damage them, but if he doesn't, I don't think they have a chance. The passing game just can't compete with that. With the Patriots, based on the fact that the Jets are going up against the top 5 defense in the NFL. So I'll take the Patriots by 10 on the road on Monday Night Football. So all in all, I think my picks were good this week. I'm still iffy about the Raiders and the Packers game. I think only reason why I'm iffy is Chucky has played well in a lot of games this year. You know, I'm not too knocked on the Raiders, but they do have talent, and the talent that they do have, they utilize it very well. So that's the only game I was up in the air with. But with all due being said, I thank you guys for tuning in to my show, Disrupted. I'm your host, Cameron Lewis, your number one talk show where we talk sports, hip-hop culture, and anything hot in the streets. See you guys later. Bye-bye.